Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is March, what is it, like the 8th?
Nah, man, you...
Sixth? Yeah. Well, shit.
That's close enough, huh?
Yeah, you know. I'm looking toward the weekend, you know? Nye's not here. She went to South Carolina, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's not here, so we're just going to hold down the... We're going to do a man show. We haven't done a man show in a while.
Yeah.
So this should be fun. This should be a good time, you know? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right.
Getting ready for the storm?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't got a house, you know, so I don't have that. All I got to do is go by the market and get milk and eggs, some bread,
you know what I'm saying, get
some chicken wings, you know what I'm saying, and some briars.
Gotta get the briars,
and I'm good money, you know, it's crazy, you're getting that March storm, they're talking about 10 inches, maybe more.
Yeah.
Supposed to be nuts out here, so.
Yeah, I'm supposed to head out tomorrow to go deal with some stuff at St. Croix with the property we have out there, but, like, I really don't think I'm going to be able to get out tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, tomorrow's going to be nuts.
Yeah, so.
And I was actually thinking about going to Atlanta on Friday, but I might just bail. I'm going to bail it out for a couple reasons. Number one, a couple of the artists that I need to see actually won't be in town this weekend, and I feel like Friday at the airport is going to be nuts.
Yeah, because everybody's going to be trying to catch up.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I could hold it for like another week or a few days and go next week or something. So, peace to everybody out there who's got to deal with that storm tomorrow. Yeah. I'll be in the house watching.
They already closed schools. Already? Yeah, I got the text. They closed the schools. Yep.
Yeah, I'll be in the house watching some bootleg movies and and waiting on Grownish to come on tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what I got a few things to run through real quick. But since we missed the show last week, sorry about that, y'all. It was just super hectic. I had these A&R meetings at my job and just couldn't pull it together. But here we is. The first thing I wanted to mention was... I've been watching the Chi.
Okay.
Which I really enjoy, actually. I caught up on it last night.
Good.
It's a good show. It's like, you know, kind of Wire-ish.
Okay.
Really interesting, you know.
Is that kinda, on Showtime?
Yeah, Showtime. Yeah. Keeps the girl, Lena White. That's the girl who did, Lena Waite, rather. That's the girl who, she, with the one from Masters of None. Yeah, exactly. It's one of her shows. She's kind of like a, hot commodity in Hollywood now. She's got a couple other shows coming out, I think, later on this year as well.
Yeah.
And this is basically about Chicago, where she's from, about her neighborhood. I believe it's filmed in a neighborhood she grew up in.
Oh, dope.
You know, it's just very, you know, some kids in there, some adults. It's just kind of, it's too much to kind of discuss. But Common's in it, playing an Iman. He's actually really good in it. He's like one of the best Common acting roles I've seen. He's only in it a little bit. Like, he's not in every episode, but that just got me to thinking, yo. I was like watching Common. I was like, yo, you know what, man? That nigga's body count is crazy. He done knocked down some mean joints.
I mean,
that nigga's knocking down Angela Rye right now. He knocked down Serena. He knocked down Erica. He knocked down Regina Hall.
He did?
Yes. He knocked down Regina Hall. These are the public joints.
Okay.
And I feel like there's a couple that I'm missing. I'm just like, yo, salute the Common.
I mean,
for quietly getting it cracking in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, knocking the top level black joints down. You know, somebody got to do it.
I mean, I always, you know, look, God bless him. You know, I wish him well.
Hey.
But that nigga be on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah, you know,
one of them old hoity-toity ass niggas, man. One of them old sister queen crochet hat wearing ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And God bless him. If that's his bag.
He once he got to Hollywood.
I really don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah,
I
just, who
I
he
just,
is.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I just don't. Like, he's just, you know, like, look, man.
Yeah.
We finna eat this chicken.
He the nigga. He the nigga to come over Thanksgiving, and he only eating the greens.
Yeah.
And the potato salad, but he not eating that because it got dairy in it.
And mayonnaise.
So yeah. He definitely ain't eating the mac and cheese. So yeah. I ain't eating no dairy. So he eating the greens and maybe the sweet potatoes. And he always gonna steer the conversation into what black people need to do is as a people.
That's why we can't get ahead.
We can't get ahead. Yeah. We don't work together. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah.
Cornering the little nephew and beat him in the head about school. Nephew just want to talk about football. He always turned that conversation into, you good in them books, but it's, you good in the football, but it's you good in them books.
You know the timetable, boy?
You know all these rap songs, but do you know your timetables?
See, again, man, like, I what I will say is I admire his stick-to-itiveness with the acting.
Been in the game a long time.
He never really turned, like, there was a clear point of when he just was no longer a rapper.
Yeah.
And like, I would really like that to be a thing when he's no longer a rapper, because it feels like a person who's been stuck.
Yeah.
As you know, like, it's almost like he hasn't really matured or grown as a rapper.
Yeah, nah,
he kind of hit a wall, and he just sort of stayed there.
Yeah, he hit the wall. Yeah,
and he's become to me sort of the face of hipster rap lovers
and
gentrified rap.
Yeah,
lovers.
Because it's politically correctness rap, and it's not necessarily him per se, but they always, if they need him to a rapper to perform at the Grammys or at the Oscars or at some type of black tie event, then you get Common and come on out here and do the rap.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, because I think he's being genuine.
Yeah, get
in
money.
All of his facets, right? Like, I don't think he's doing anything that's out of his norm, or he's trying to hustle people. But you know, again,
he's nigga, you know, wake up in the morning, this nigga getting your bean sprouts. Say, nigga, where's the bacon, dog, brother? You can't have no bacon. You know what the pork does, nigga. Can I have a sausage? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but piece of him just on his body count, I just was like, this nigga done knocked down a lot of joints quietly. Also wanted to mention this Top Off record. Have you heard it yet?
That
Beyonce, Jay-Z, and
I heard it. Yes, I've heard it.
It's terrible.
Which is garbage.
It's garbage. You know, I'm a big fan of all three. You know, that I don't know what that's supposed to be like. Is it like...
That's where we are. Where we are is, yo, come through, get on the joint.
Real quick.
Yo,
on your way to somewhere
right
else.
Now. Yeah. Like, what y'all doing right now, right this second.
Through.
Come through right quick.
Stop real quick on the way home.
That's what it feels like. That music feels like.
Yeah,
it feels like one hit a quitter. We was just talking about this last night. We in Vegas for the weekend, or we at so and so's crib, and
somebody emailed me the files, and you know what I'm saying.
None of that shit feels passionate. When you hear Jay on there, you're like, this isn't the same person who did 444.
No, because is just like, yo, all right, Cal, you beat me in the head, I'll jump on
pretty
the truck.
Much,
and B was like,
much.
Yo, write me some shit.
Like,
though.
Yo, like, nigga, we came over here to play with Assad and get some food, nigga.
Well,
like,
we watch the game and you beat niggas in the head by going downstairs to the studio.
Exactly. That's all that shit.
Exactly.
Felt,
nigga, I just wanted some punch, nigga. So, God bless all three of them, but, you know, I
can't. I mean, and you know what? Listen, in fairness, like, you get a swing and a miss.
Hey, it don't hurt nobody's career. It's just not a good record.
Swing and a miss.
It's not a good record, you know?
At all.
Yeah, so, sidebar. So the other day, what was that? I guess it was Saturday or Sunday. I was at the crib watching something, and my phone rang, and, I'm screaming on my phone. The doorbell rang. Who the fuck on the door? I opened the door. It's two Mormon kids. They got in the building somehow, and they trying to fellowship or whatever they do. They kids, too. They like 18, 19 years old. They got the name tag with the shirt. One kid looked brown. like it was Latin or something, mm-hmm. maybe mixed, and it was another white kid. But it was kind of funny because he was like, "You mind if we give you a scripture?" And I'm like, "Nah, bro." Like, but I was like, "Nah, I'm not gonna do that." But I'll try to be nice. I was like, I don't want to slam the door in your face, but I'm good.
Yeah.
So like, we can end this now. Like, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna let you get into it. And I had a T-shirt on. Somebody gave me some damn T-shirt. It said day one. It says day ones only. And the white boy was like, "Day ones only, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." He was like, "You know, God is anybody's day one."
That's a good one.
I said, well played, man. That was well like played. I like that. I still ain't gonna give you no scripture. But that was fly. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
I said, "I'm gonna close this door," but that was good. Now, like, don't, you know, he's like, all right.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So I just had to say that because I was like, you guys don't have
the no solicitation downstairs sign?
Yeah, but if, you know, if people don't care if they get in, they
let
get in.
Let me tell
in,
you something, man.
It's a big building, so they figure
shit
if
changed.
We go up and down, we can catch somebody in here. Especially older folks, you know what I'm saying?
The Jehovah's Witness caught me one day.
At the crib?
Because I have really big doors. Like, well, you've been to the crib.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't see out of my door.
Your doors are massive.
Yeah, they're massive.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're big, heavy. Yeah, they're heavy,
yeah.
Big doors.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking, we used to have a dude who used to come by and sell, like, seafood and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was a nice guy. His shit was overpriced, but he was a black man, and I felt it's my man.
Yeah, I'll buy something. When I call some porgies, you know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly. So I thought it was him.
Okay.
Dude, it was a Jehovah's Witness, and of course, it's the elders. So now you kind of, like, you can't really be too harsh.
Yeah, it can't be too.
You know what I'm saying? Too curt, because it's an elder.
Yeah.
So, like, right after that, I went online and bought, like, 3 or 4 no soliciting signs. I put one out on my door, gave a couple to my neighbors who I know can't solicit. Like,
does it work?
Changed everything, dude. Like, they used to come through, they used to ring the bell with the water conservation, and ring the bell, "Oh, we selling candy from a team, and we got magazines from a team," and all of that sort of shit. You know, when you live in the burbs,
the kids is like, you gonna say no to the kids, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, man.
You know,
so, of course, like, dude, I put the no solicitation sign, game changer.
Really?
Game changer.
They don't even come to the door now.
Don't even come. My shit is right there by the doorbell, so there's no mistaking.
Yeah.
No problem.
Wow. Okay, I gotta remember that. I just want to give the little young Mormon boy props because he was slick with it. I also read. Wait. So, I got to say peace to Vivo real quick because I did a panel with Whitney Benta, friend of the show, Coltrane Curtis, and this girl named Ravia. I'm sorry, I forget her last name. She's a photographer. We did a panel over at the Vivo offices hosted by this cat, Joseph Patel, Jazzy Beezy on Twitter. Just, you know, piece to them. It was interesting. It was just like you're talking about, you know, careers and the culture and da-da-da-da. And it was only for the people in the building, but it was kind of, I hadn't done a panel in a minute. I was like, I think I might try to get into doing this again a little more, not too much, a little more. So that's something to say, you know, peace to them. I wanted to mention Will Smith.
Yeah.
So Will's picked up on Twitter, on Instagram, right around the time that Bright came out. So I guess it was right around end of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like fallish of last year. And he's really taken Instagram by storm. He's, pretty much everybody's favorite follow. Like, sometimes he'll get on there and kind of give his little words of wisdom, but then sometimes he'll get on there and be goofy and silly.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll, you know, kind of do shit from the movie sets or wherever he may be. You know, of course, he's a movie star, so he understands the art of photography and media in the medium and how to make it work or whatever. So he's really, really good at it. And this week he did a thing, but I actually never got a chance to watch it. But so, it caused a lot of rumbling.
Well, yes. So Will Smith got on, and the gist of his post was about self-discipline.
Okay.
And about hard work and self-discipline being sort of your key to success.
Okay.
And what happens is that Well, first, like I said on the text thread that we had talked about, was that I feel like this part of Will has been very strategic. For a very long time, Will, he wasn't a recluse, but he was not...
He was low.
He very low.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have this sort of access to him.
Absolutely.
Now,
not.
I think with having, you know, young children who are being professionals in this space...
And Jaden is...
And yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Into
so,
it.
So I get it. Like, he's still got a little bit of coolness with him as a dad, mm-hmm. and so he understands this. And I also think that right around the time when he was no longer... His pickup on social media was right at the time when it was seemingly he was no longer a bankable movie star.
Yeah, yeah. He had caught a couple L's.
He caught about four L's in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the rumblings were...
Even though After Earth to me was still good.
Yeah, but you know, just in theory, right? Like, he caught a couple L's. And then it was, he's doing this Netflix movie. And everybody was kind of like, oh, shit. Like, is this the next new wave?
Yeah.
And you kind of almost got the sense that right around production, it was, hey, let me really engage on social media. Because this is where the people who watch these movies
are. Yeah, it's kind of marketing.
And so he's done this several times where he does these sort of motivational speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are... They're cute, and they're really cool.
Yeah.
Again, let me couch this by saying, I'm going to be 42 this year, so a lot of the shit that he's saying is not really resonating.
It ain't groundbreaking,
It ain't groundbreaking to me. But if
I'm 25-year-old? Right,
if I'm 24, and that's been like my hero growing up, like I get that.
Yeah.
Will says a lot of things that if he was not, if you stripped away the sound of his voice.
Okay.
And you did not know it was Will Smith, it would sound very conservative. It would sound like a white man.
Okay.
It's very, a lot of his angles are very bootstraps, stay
pick
the course,
up,
stay focused. And a lot of these guys...
Pull your pants up.
Yeah, well, a lot of these guys also give these very generic and broad strokes of advice.
Yeah.
You know, get up every day and be the best possible you. Like, the fuck does that even mean?
Nothing.
To a 26-year-old kid trying to figure out life and get off his mother's couch.
It don't mean nothing.
And that's
same
my point.
Same with all the niggas on fucking Instagram with their little posts every
posting,
day. I'm like, nigga, look, whatever.
There's
man.
A whole there's a whole industry.
Yes.
Designed. And I'm not saying Will is doing this, you know, in that way, but there's a whole industry designed to sort of pick off on people's insecurities about
absolutely.
Certain shit.
Absolutely.
And the things that they think are about the world. Like, are you, like, there's no way you can tell me that only working hard and staying your course is going to lead to this sort of financial freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, my daddy worked hard every fucking day. Every fucking day.
Yep.
He got up.
To the
he
bone.
Went to work and worked his ass off. And you know what the fuck he got for it? He got a fucking a gold watch.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your services.
Yeah, and holla.
Okay?
Yeah.
Nobody gave him. He didn't get no fucking golden parachute from Cooper Tires or none of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and he has a little pension.
Yeah.
He has
and
little
that, you know,
he figured
it out.
Black man dream for 75.
Yeah,
right?
He did the best he could. But stop saying getting up early in the morning, working hard, is going to lead you to wealth and riches.
And what happens is when people like Will Smith, when people of that ilk, when people of that sort of caliber of wealth say those things, it resonates in a way that doesn't present in he is not giving you practical advice that you can go out and execute on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying that that's his job.
I'm saying
that the advice he's giving is blanket and generic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like fucking telling a husband and wife you should listen to your wife.
Communication
is the key. And all that's like, the fuck out of here with that, bro. Like, I mean, that's whatever to me.
Yeah.
So that's my only, it's not even a gripe, because I've just started following Will, actually.
Oh, really?
But it's not even a gripe to me, because it doesn't, like, you know, with the algorithm, you barely see shit now.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's his, I think he has conviction in what he's saying. I think he believes what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's wrong in what he's saying. You know what I mean? And I think that it's too broad a scope. I think those general things have meaning. You know what I mean? But that shit ain't.
Yeah, but it ain't. It's like candy. It's not.
That shit ain't helping. That shit ain't helping Pam and Gerald.
Yeah.
Go from working 4 to 12 to being assistant manager at the Target.
Yeah, living from an apartment to getting a house. It's more to it than that. Yeah, but you know, I mean, peace to him. He's trying to do his thing, and people seem to enjoy it. Speaking of candy, did you read the story about the gummy bears?
No.
So, out in Illinois, there's some daycare workers who had a bunch of 2-year-olds and small kids or whatever in the daycare center. So they found out that what they was doing was they'd buy gummy bears for the kids, and then they dose them with melatonin and give it to the kids to make the kids go to sleep.
What?
Yeah, and they're not doctors. They're just 3 regular white gals.
Wow.
Yeah. So they so they giving, and so they don't know how much the dose should be and none of that shit.
They just guessing. They just dipping the gummy bear and giving it to
them. Hey man, give it to the 3-year-old so they'll go to sleep.
Wow.
So they got I don't know. I read the story, but I don't remember how they said they got caught. Because they said that a couple parents were complaining because the kids were so groggy when they got home, because they were giving it too much.
Yeah.
Why is my son or daughter so wiped out when they come home? I can't barely wake them up. So I guess they traced it back and figured it out. So they all got arrested, but I just thought it was kind of a wild story. Like, that's damn. Crazy.
Well, where the fuck do they even get that from? Like,
it's over the counter.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Let's go to the CVS.
They giving them babies a night-night.
Night-night. For real. Wow. Like the night-night. Shit, you just get a baby rub a little Jack Daniels on his gums or something.
Give him a little taste.
Yeah, give him a little taste. He'd be going to sleep, but damn, don't knock him out. Did you read that Donald Glover piece in the New Yorker?
I did. I did not read all of it.
Okay, it was a really long piece.
It wasn't really. It was very long.
Yeah, it was
extraordinarily long.
Yeah, I was like, okay, how much longer are we going? Let's get to that. Before we do that, since we're here, let's talk about the premiere of Atlanta.
Okay.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good.
Me too.
I thought it was.
I enjoyed it. I loved Cat Williams.
I thought it was good. I never actually seen Cat Williams in a role like that.
Yeah, where he could be like serious. And
I was actually taken aback by it. I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, he really should have more of these opportunities.
Absolutely.
To be that, that sort of guy.
I felt like, I don't know Cat. I met him once 100,000 years ago, so I don't know him at all. But I do remember when I met, again, this is one time, he was at a video for E-40. E-40 knows all those guys, so he came up. But I remember, like, when the camera would stop, he was really quiet. Like, he wasn't that comic that's trying to make everybody laugh.
He was mad.
He would just chill. Like, he would just be sitting down. And, he would talk to somebody. You spoke to him.
But he
wasn't like that life in a party comic. He was so... To see him... Again, I'm talking shit. I don't know him at all. But I felt like that character was closer to who he probably really is.
Yeah.
In real life. What I'm saying? Like, funny as because he was funny at times, but he wasn't like the class clown. Episode 2 this week, but it just picked up right where left off.
I have issues with the show still.
What's your issues?
I really think it's dope of FX to give them the space to do what they feel is great to tell the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are not really hampered by time.
Nah, they're doing what they want.
Because they have episodes where it was 40 minutes.
Yeah, well, how long was this episode?
Episode's 40 minutes.
Yeah, because time? Why is it 10:35?
I've seen episodes, like 37 minutes or 42 minutes.
So, it's not the hard half hour.
Yes, and I think that is really, really interesting that television is sort of, traditional television is sort of going that route.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I still think the storytelling is not great. I like the show, right? I don't think the storytelling is great. I think it's very choppy. It's very... I've said this even from last year. So it's just a part of what their process is. I just think the writing is choppy. Again, I like the show. I'm going to watch the show. But I definitely think that it has flaws in it. And tries to be a little too cute for its own good. I mean, there are some... Like, I enjoy that they do these sort of non-traditional things for television. But I think that there is also a reason that you have these very traditional things in television. Right? Because people watch television a very certain way, in a very specific
way. You're kind of trained to watch it a certain
way. You're basically... You're stripping all of those things away.
Yeah.
Like, you're not giving any of the...
No.
And I'm not saying... And I don't mean cliches. I mean structural, television is
totally
done.
Different.
Yes. Completely different.
But I mean, in reading about him and you know, this article we talked about, like, he's always said that, you know, he's tried to make a show that shows, you know, what to him is the real Atlanta, and it's like almost kind of like a dreamy... kind of places, like, where shit kind of like happens and then, you know, goes back to quiet and things don't always kind of make sense. And I think that's the choppiness that you're seeing. Like, it ain't some shit that ain't supposed to make sense, I think, purposely.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? I think purposely. It's like, even that, like, the alligator coming out the crib is like, oh shit. But yeah, in the hood, like, niggas do be having big ass.
You know what? I thought about that. I was like, there was a nigga in Harlem that had an alligator.
Tiger Projects. Yeah. I remember that, dude. I remember that. First of all, I remember the story what happened, but I knew about that story before because the barbershop I used to go to was not far from there and niggas would talk about it. It's like, oh, there's a nigga up there. I think it's Drew House. There's a nigga up at Drew. Got tigers and shit in the crib, and they said that he would actually take the people knew because he actually would take the tiger out for walks late at night, like 4 a.m. So people saw the tiger. It was known. It wasn't like he kept the tiger cooped up in the apartment. He would walk it, especially when it was smaller. He'd walk it around the fucking playground at 3-4 a.m. and some kids would be like looking at it. It was a thing.
And I
remember the story that because right across from where his apartment, that's the side of the building where he lived, literally across the street is a old folks home.
Okay.
And the old folks could see the could see the tiger in the apartment. Oh, the tiger would stick his paws and shit out. And nobody in the old folks home believed them.
Well, of course not.
You know, I'm with Jamie out here talking crazy again.
Earl, sucking out that bottle.
Curtis, get your ass back in the bed. And they're like, there was a tiger across the way. And they see people in the building, like, you hear the tiger roar and shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a known thing. So, all that to say, the alligator thing was cool to me because, yeah, that happens in the hood.
Like, you're having
pets and turkeys. Shit, nigga, you can go up to Washington Heights and consistently see roosters and shit walking on the street.
Oh, yeah.
Regular.
No, I believe that. And that's what I think.
Chickens
I
and shit.
I definitely feel like there's an authenticity that the show has. Just the way it's shot, the way it looks.
Yeah.
It
felt like the first show. If you could feel like the hot day, you could feel the heat. Like if you could like feel it watching, like it's summertime, it's hot. Yeah. Like you could just feel the energy of it, you know. But what did you think about the article on him? Because it was very controversial.
Well, I don't really trust that nigga. I don't really trust that nigga too tough. I think Donald Glover. There's a part of this article. And this is sort of where I begin to check out. Where he is, maybe fawning is not like the right word, but he is like, the way he is talking about this Texas rapper.
Oh, TK.
Yes. The way he is talking about this kid who's, I guess, on the run or for murder.
No, they caught him. He's on the run no more. He's in, and just sidebar, the girl that was with him when he did this shit, they just flipped her.
Oh, okay.
She's young too. They gave her 20 years. That's the plea. That's what she got to flip. Yeah. So if she got 20
they might have been trying to put her in the chair.
No, life. That's exactly what that's my point.
Yeah.
They was going to give them capital. There was a capital.
Capital.
Yeah, so she flipped. So it feels like TK might get. The might get the death penalty.
So there's a tone that I have not necessarily been able to articulate that he has about street culture and about people that come from street culture. And there's this sort of weird fascination that I feel. There's like almost like he has this ability to be able to, again, sort of participate in these two worlds.
Yeah.
Where he's allowed to be involved, or he's allowed to speak. It's like he's allowed to partake in those things. He's allowed to be around in those street things
without committing.
But also he's able to just sort of go and be with the hipsters.
Totally.
Right.
Totally.
Like he's just. And again, I haven't fully, because I'm not that vested in Donald Glover.
Yeah,
I haven't fully immersed myself in all of the things that he does. I know that he's really talented.
Yeah,
I think that article also made me feel like he's a lot to deal with.
Yeah,
like that there's this sense of, because I'm really talented, I get to be really quirky and make life sort of fucked up for
and
people.
And make you work right on my terms.
Yes, I get to do these things because I'm talented, and because when you're talented, you get to say you're quirky.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's it did not feel, nothing about that quirky shit felt authentic. Nothing about that weird shit felt authentic. Nothing about it. Like, I'm in a trap house. Like, nigga, you not in a trap house, my nigga. You not in a trap house. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's this weird, like it's weird, because I'll hear people. It's funny because people that come from the street, and I don't mean like niggas involved in the street. I mean, when you've grown up around that shit, you don't really hear people talk about that shit.
No.
And they definitely don't talk about it in this fantastic way.
No, you
want to
get away from it.
And they don't talk about it with that tone.
Yeah, like yo, it was so fly.
Yo,
used to be selling coke in the trap.
Yeah, it was like, nigga, what are you talking about, man? Like, some of my neighbors, man, like, we grew up in some real fucking terrible places.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Chicago,
yeah.
Far Rock, like,
yeah. And I mean, you're taking me to another place. And I've always meant to bring this up on the show. I've always had it always irks me. Let me change it. It does irk me, but it's very interesting to me that black folks, and maybe it's a certain type of black folks, I don't know, but we have this thing when we get together a lot, especially, the women too, where it's almost like we have to try to outdo each other on how bad it was.
Yeah. Out hood each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, man, I remember men back in the day, man, we ain't had nothing to eat. We slept on it. It's always like a one-up on how fucked up life was. And I'm not saying that those circumstances didn't happen, but it's almost like, it's almost like a glowing, the people try to...
There's a revisionist history to make themselves feel like they've like conquered.
Came up so far from the bottom and nothing.
Yeah.
I remember, like, even when I was, you know, younger, you know, still, you know, like, going to the park in the summer and stuff like that. And like, a lot of the kids were younger than me. They used to always say to me, like, yo, why you don't ever talk about, like, stuff y'all used to do? They say it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like... I don't know. Like, I mean, they wanted to hear the war stories.
Yeah.
And they was, we'd say, like, why don't I tell the war stories? And I'm like, he does. Why don't you ever say?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, and I was like, I don't know. Just. And I'm not hiding anything, or like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? And I know, you know, people have had it worse than I have. I'm not saying, like, you know, I was in a foster home or something horrific like that, but like, I don't know. I just never got off on the glorification of poverty. You know, not to cut you off, but again, of course, even in those circumstances, there were some great days.
Yeah.
You know, it was great, the fun, or you know, you know, kissing girl in the park, whatever it was, and you find your moments of sunshine in this horrific situation. But I just don't get the whole, I just never got that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like with dude, it just doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
The way he, the language, and, you know, I'm not a prude. I mean, language, like literally the tone in which he takes with this, you know, sort of romance that he has with like street culture,
yeah,
is it really feels like an outsider trying to prove how much of an insider that they really are. You know, almost like being quirky and hanging out with the white folks wasn't quite enough for him. And I think that, you know, again, I mean, I think he has his moments when he is really talented.
Yeah, man, he's nuts.
He can do incredible. A lot of different things, but that whole romance with street culture, it bothers me.
I got you.
Everything about that bothers me, and I really wanted to kind of bring it a little full circle. That's also a part of the show
that bothers you.
I don't want to dive too deep into the show because it is a show. It's a television show. I'll we're in the entertainment business. I would never forget that it's a television show. Mm-hmm. But there is, again, a very cavalier and sort of flippant way that they address violence.
Mm.
And this very, very dark, tone. Right? Like everyone is sort of oblivious or has sort of given up to the fact that this is what it is.
This is what it is.
You know what I'm saying? And I've been in neighborhoods like that.
Yeah. Of course.
And that's not how people feel in general.
Yeah.
You know, they'd like to fucking live, a great quality of life.
Yeah.
I don't want to mash the two up and I don't want to go on too long, but there is a sense of, and I don't want to be, also I don't want to be too extreme with using the whole black pain, angle, but I definitely feel like there's something there where he just fetishizes like this dark street violence.
Okay. Damn, I had some shit I was going to say about that too. I feel like, again, I could be wrong, but I feel like because he's a, also, you know, you never forget he's an actor,
mm-hmm,
that he has decided to kind of go blacker,
mm-hmm,
in his persona now,
mm-hmm,
because it works for the show.
It's profitable,
and the culture of the blackness is popping right now,
mm-hmm,
especially on television. You know, with his shit, with Insecure, with mm-hmm, Sugar, with, you know, various other, you know, kind of shows that are on all the time that we're locking into Power or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's cool to be, you know, this black kind of, you know, person that even makes white folks a little unweary and uncomfortable. It's a cool thing to be, and I think he's like, I'm gonna do that now.
And also, it's also very popular and profitable to be black. And blackness had a very sort of, in my opinion, had a very narrow and defined, a narrow definition, I should say, for a lot of people, right? And he doesn't really fit
any of that
into sort of either extreme.
Yeah.
Right? And because he doesn't fit into either extreme, that's what I'm saying. I also feel like it allows him to be able to sort of teeter on how he wants to feel when it's most profitable.
Okay.
Because community Donald Glover is not this Donald Glover.
No.
At least from my understanding. No, right?
No. This is two separate worlds.
That's what I'm saying.
And
right?
Childish Gambino is another one.
It's like, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Let's talk about, did you read the story I sent about the girl squatting in her dorm?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so let me just pull that up real quick because I want to get her name right. Because I thought that was, I saw it on the news and I was like, I guess you can do that.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know how much longer it's going to last.
Yeah.
But she's doing it now. So, Sorry, y'all.
Lisa Palmer is her name. She's 32 years old.
Yeah, she's 32. That was the first thing that caught me. I was like, she's 32 years old. Like, so she was a Hunter College student. She hasn't been in classes in Hunter since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't finish. The reason she hasn't been able to finish is not her grades, but she didn't have the money to pay for classes and stuff moving forward.
Okay.
So they sent her a notice. Well, since you're not in school, you gotta leave the dorm. And she was like, "Nah,
nah, B,
I'm chilling." So she's been in the dorm since 2016, living there. And she's her angle is she's blaming Hunter for her not being able to finish her degree because it's too expensive, basically. Like, if y'all wasn't so high, I could pay for this shit and finish. So she's actually working. She's got a couple jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's treating the dorm like it's her apartment.
I think she was scamming, and this was the plan for a very long time.
Obviously. Because they interviewed her and everything, and she not even, like, she not even shamed. She, like, you know, the lady was like, you gonna move out? And she was like, I don't think I should have to move out.
I don't even know if squatter laws come into effect.
That's what I'm saying, because it's a dorm, it's a campus, it's a little different than a regular home.
Yeah, it gets very tricky, but I think she has a point. I definitely feel like college has been sort of priced ridiculously. I mean, even when you try to relate it to past college tuitions, right? Like the inflation, it doesn't really match, right? Like the increase is astronomical.
Yeah, it's
something
craziness.
It's something like 500 times what it would have normally cost,
even
adjusted for inflation. So it's just, I mean, she has a point in that, you know, college is just overpriced, but
where's
Hunter College? Like, Hunter College
is
like,
city.
Yeah, it's like right in the city.
Yeah.
So basically, you living in the city.
Yeah. Yo, she owes $94,000 in unpaid residence hall fees.
Yeah.
And they asked her in the interview I saw, they said, "You gonna pay the money?" She was like, "No, I'm never gonna have the type of money to pay, so I'm not gonna pay it, and they shouldn't even charge me for it." I'm like,
and what's crazy to me is that, like, there's a parent, dude. Like, there's a parent who is sending their kid to that school.
Who can't get a dorm slot.
And who's also paying their money.
And they can't get a dorm slot.
And this idea, and the idea that everyone who does help their children or pay for their children's tuition just got it like that, that's bullshit.
That's total bullshit.
Like, there are people out there that fucking work and they bust their ass and they've saved.
Yeah, but they ain't rich.
Yeah, like, that's wild to me, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking insane. Listen, man.
They said they gave a 30-day eviction notice back in September and she refused to leave. So now the school has filed a lawsuit and they can't comment on pending litigation. So even, I guess, the lawsuit might not even have come up on the docket yet. And this girl's working, like, she's working a couple jobs, and at night she comes home to the dorm like it's an apartment building. That shit is crazy, man.
I
wonder how the students
treat
her in the dorm.
They should have changed the motherfucking locks.
Yeah, I'm not. Just for her, every night I'm holding my breath that my shit ain't on the street when I come home.
Yeah,
every night I'm like, oh,
that's just wild to me, man. Like, it's
2 years, bro.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, I just thought that story was just bizarre. Like, I was just, I mean, again, it's 32 and you living in a dorm. Like,
that's
what's
why,
with you?
Come on, fam. That was, I want to live in Manhattan.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go to school.
That's some side hustle.
Because
what you doing? Like, you making it seem like, okay, Hunter's too expensive. All right, there's several other schools you could go to
True.
To finish your degree.
Yeah, yeah.
In the city.
Yeah, you ain't
like,
got
to
go to Hunter.
You ain't got to go, like,
yeah.
go to the city university.
Yeah,
go to,
yeah.
Like, there's
yeah.
a bunch of schools in
Tons
New York.
Tons of shit, BMCC, whatever.
All
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a bizarre story. Did you read about Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan's next movie?
We
talked about it. So
yeah, I did.
They're going to do the movie. The next movie is going to be the story of the Atlanta school grade controversy.
Yes.
That we covered on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Because if this happened, like, maybe in like 16 or 15.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I don't know what their twist or spin on is going to be, but it's going to be very interesting because, I mean, it got deep and, you know, people, obviously people got fired. It was a lot going on with that.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of that happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of that.
Because, you know, people, the better grades a school gets, you know, the more funding you can get and all this other shit. So you can't afford to have, you know, bad test scores. Did you see the Hurt Bay 2?
I did.
All right, so what you thought about it, bro?
I think
you
that nigga's awful.
That nigga's
a psycho.
That nigga's hurt. He's mad as fuck that they're not together. Even though he's gonna play the bravado game, he's pissed the fuck off.
It was crazy because
wait, this is good. So Hurt Bay, for those who know, I'm sure everybody knows, it was a thing where it was a couple, and what they did is that they were facing each other in chairs, and they were talking about to each other about why their relationship didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first one, she's visibly distraught because he's telling her how he was fucking mad girls when they was together, and he's just basically a piece of shit. He's a fuckboy.
Yeah.
You know, she's like crushed because she's like, you know, she said, I kept taking, he was a gay, but you kept taking me back, and I'm, da, da, da. He basically was blaming on her, like, you know, basically, you knew I was a fuckboy, and you kept coming back anyway. So, like, she was Hurt Bay, and then, of course, that video went crazy viral. It was, like, a whole big thing on Black Twitter, where people were discussing it, da, 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 da. So, this is one year later, they came back, and they did Hurt Bay 2. And in Hurt Bay 2, they're sitting in the same positions facing each other, except she's definitely way more confident now because she's over it. But she's like, I'll do it. Basically, her tone's like, I'm going to do this just for closure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's aggressive from the door.
Yep.
Like, you know, and so they start talking, and he's just like shooting darts and being nasty and mean. And, you know, it just goes from there. And she talks about how she's now in a relationship with another person, and she's happy. Mm-hmm. Well, you can see that nigga's blood pressure go up even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then he claims that they was never together. They just did it for exposure. It's like,
what exposure, nigga? Like, what did y'all get out of that? Like, he's the worst. That's a young nigga with no guidance. That's a young nigga who don't have an old nigga around.
Absolutely not.
Because, like, first of all, man, like, his he starts off saying how people misjudge, they judge me based on a 5-minute clip, and, you know, she was trying to, like, throw the nigga a lifeline, like, oh, you know, you weren't that bad.
Yeah.
And listen, I ain't saying this young lady was perfect.
No, of course not.
She had some shit with her.
I'm sure.
But, like, he says, oh, yeah, I'm not a bad person, and then proceeds to be a fucking awful person for the next, like, 6.5 minutes.
Like,
it was strange.
Yeah.
It was strange, dude. The behavior was strange. The way he was going on and on, saying how they was never together. And this is something that I've mentioned before, is that there's this sort of thing that not even just young men, that men do in general, which is, they don't necessarily say that they want to be in an exclusive relationship, but they do and say all of the things that people who are in exclusive relationships do and say.
Exactly.
And then they hide behind the fact that
I never said we were together.
And so to me, that's really the worst kind of nigga.
They say, my nigga, you bought a home for Thanksgiving. She met your mom. She helped your mom make the potato salad. You know what I'm saying? She met your Uncle Joe. She sat and listened to his stories and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and played with your nieces and nephews and helped them with their homework. Mm-hmm.
Did a hair.
Your names is both on the damn lease. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all taking vacations together. You know, like, you know her parents. You go to their house for the cookout, but y'all was never together because you never actually asked her. But you're literally doing everything that a couple together would do.
He says this. He says as much, because he says, if they sort of juxtapose the first clip with this one, and it was like, yo, we spent all our time together, and, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
But y'all not nigga, that's together.
That's your girl, my nigga.
Nigga, that's very together, right?
That's
now.
Your girl.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just, It was sort of typical. Like, he's an asshole. He feels like a dickhead all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not quite sure what exactly she saw in him, because that dickheadness seems to just sort of ooze out of him very easy and quickly. But, you know, listen, young women, you know, God bless her.
They look both the face on. Maybe 30, maybe even in their 20s.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They're probably in their late 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, he's a terrible nigga. Whatever happens.
It was interesting, like you said, because he, you know, again, there's a lot of dudes like this who, like, because for whatever reasons, something happened in his upbringing, he doesn't know how to express his emotions at all when it comes to women. So his thing is, like a lot of dudes, their thing is either, man, fuck all them bitches or whatever, or to kind of hide the fact that he actually likes somebody. Because he doesn't know how to ever be really vulnerable publicly. So it's always like, yeah, it's cool, but, you know, I still got this other joint I'm seeing on the side. It's always that. So the fact that she left and never came back, that's what's killing him. Like, she didn't come when she left, because she had come back so many times before, then, that when she didn't come back and then got with another dude and is happy, that crushed him. That's very similar to Chris Brown. When Karrueche left and didn't come back and then prospered and got this TV show and caught the Emmy, and now she's dating, who's she dating now? I think it was Victor Cruz or whatever. She's not coming back. That's why Chris was showing up at the thing and you know, and then making songs, but then sometimes he'd be like, well, fuck you, bitch, because he just doesn't know how to express his emotions. And that's this guy without the platform.
And also too, I thought it was real cheap and fucking lazy of him to, like, well, you know, as a black man, I've been judged. Nigga, shut the fuck up. We judged you because you was being a fucking dickhead.
Black man ain't nothing to do with you being a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, you being a dickhead right now.
And ain't no niggas gonna run up on you and be like, yo, nigga, you was dope. Any nigga with some salt is gonna be like, my nigga, you a clown.
Yeah,
you played yourself. Another story I saw this week that was really interesting, was just so much going on, it's flying right under the radar, is, so in South Africa, the government of South Africa is basically backing black farmers to be allowed to take their land back from white farmers who, you know, have stolen their land over the years. White farmers control 73% of the country's farming. And they put this motion to take land back. Like, they can go on the farm and just kick white farmers off their land. So there's a petition now with more than 12,000 people that signed in South Africa asking Trump to let white people immigrate to the States, because they're like, yo, these niggas are taking the land back, and we gotta get out of here.
That is fascinating.
It flew right. It's like a Newsweek and everything.
And
but
what farmland are they gonna come here and take? What the fuck they gonna do here?
I don't know what they plan on doing here, but the thing is, there's obviously a lot of white South Africans that over the years have amassed a lot of bread.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if it's coming over here to be farmers. This is coming over here to just, you know, Just to set up shop. It's a really fascinating story that I want to.
Yeah, they want to leave because, you know, you've treated people like shit.
Because, you know, so what black cats do over there. Again, this is I've read this part before. There's, like, basically gangs of black cats that will run up on a farm at night and murder the family. It happens all the time. All the time in South Africa. Like, there's been thousands. I think I read somewhere it was like 4,000 people over the years have been murdered that way. They're like, they'll just run up on a farm in the middle of the night and, like, hack them to death with machetes and shit. Like, basically saying, you know, get off the land. So it's a real thing. So, and then, of course, there's a lot of farmers that's shooting black cats who are trespassing on their land. Wow. So it's a really really interesting story. So I don't know what's going to happen as far as them, you know, passing the petition for them to come over here. But
yeah, that's
wild. It's really wild. It's just really wild. It's like, you know, like you said, it's kind of like the chickens coming home to roost. You know, all the violent shit that they've done to black people in South Africa over the years, and now black people is getting their payback in the most violent way. Yeah. Like, you know, it's bigger than just, oh, we'll just kind of vote people out.
Yeah, you ain't gonna make it. Yeah, but you're gonna make it very uncomfortable for you.
Yeah, exactly. Every night you go to sleep, you don't know if you're gonna get a fucking machete in your chest. Yep. So it's a really wild story, man. I just wanted to bring that up. We'll kind of keep an eye on it. We got to get into Ayanna Van Zandt. She came back. Wait, hold up. Before we do that, the season finale of Married to That Medicine.
Oh yes,
was Friday and Sunday. It's been a phenomenal season.
It was a great season.
It was a great. It's been a lot of bad shit happening on the season.
Yeah.
But as a television series, it's been it's blowing Real Housewives of Atlanta out of the water. It ain't even close no more.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Atlanta is. I didn't even watch it this week. It's just it's a hard. It's such a hard watch because these are like. Dead ass grown up women. These women like Zanini and Sheree are like grandmothers. Yeah. Like grandmothers for real. Like not just like, oh, like they got.
Yeah.
They nanas. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they on this show like fighting and shit and cussing and bitch, fuck you. But it's like, yo, you're like 50 something years old, man. 50
something.
50 somethings. And even the younger part of the cast, which I guess is Candy and Portia. Or in their late 30s. They're not kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so for all the shit they be doing, it's like, I expect that, no disrespect, but I expect that on like a Love and Hip Hop or like a show that has a younger cast. I expect that here. Black Ink. Okay. I get it. They're going to be wilding out. I get it. But like on that show with like, again, I know you need, you know, drama and tension for television, but it's like, Jesus Christ, man. You know, but back to Married to the Medicine. It's been amazing, bro.
Yeah, it's been very well produced. I think they also tripped up on a couple of storylines that they weren't necessarily planning on.
Yeah, they didn't know. They definitely didn't know.
Old Curtis,
and Cecil and Simone.
Cecil and Simone and Eugene.
And Eugenie.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, and I don't think that they planned on the Greg Quad thing going that far off the rails.
Yes.
So this was the season finale, which was interesting because on the season finale, as far as Cecil and Simone go, they was like, we good.
In fairness, that season finale might have been.
Oh yeah, of course it was taped.
Yeah. But I
just wonder what happened because they was literally like, they told their oldest son who's going to Howard in the fall. You know, we good. Well, both their sons, actually. We good. You know, we've worked through our issues. And, you know, after we probably took him out after he graduated high school. So I guess that probably was May.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're happy you graduated and we're proud of you guys. And it looked like they was like, you know, back on track again. So from that's May. This is March. So it's been a minute. But I wonder what took him back off the rails. Because it looked like they were both in a decent place.
I think
you think it was a Band-Aid on a bullet hole?
Yeah. I think they might have had a great weekend.
Yeah.
You know.
Had a good few days.
Yeah, good couple days. And I think, you know, Cecil was probably on his best behavior for those couple of days. And then I think I think Cecil has some issues that really don't have anything to do with Simone.
Well, like, what do you mean?
I think he said some telling things. I think when you look at the episode where he... when he invests his money into that app,
yeah, the kids, he whatever.
It was a terrible idea. It was a terrible idea as an investment, and it was a terrible idea to take that kind of money out of an account that's a joint account.
Especially don't tell nobody
and don't say
tell your wife.
That's crazy.
That's the 25 racks,
like gone.
Yeah, nigga, you ain't take $250. Like, all right, well, you know,
and it's gone.
Yeah,
nigga. Like,
yeah,
you can't, it ain't like back. You went. Yeah, like, yeah, like you did something that we could maybe liquidate.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah,
and so When you listen to him on that episode, he talks about really a fear that I think a lot of people have at that age.
Getting pushed out of the job.
Getting pushed out of his job. And if you really listen to him, man, you can hear that fear.
Oh, no question. Now, you have to really listen.
That's what I'm saying.
He said shit ain't been going too good at the job. And there have been layoffs, and I don't know.
But that's the thing. When he says, basically, like, I'm going into work every day.
Not knowing
when my head is going to be on that platter.
Yeah.
Or if my head is going to be on that platter. And you can sort of, I'm not saying that made him any simple. He didn't gain sympathy from me, but it gave me some understanding.
As to why he would do that.
It also gave me understanding as to why the stress levels and the tension in that house has been so high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, dude, like, you are a little antiquated. And if you think that this is a progressive app that you should be investing in, I don't know how great you are at IT. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised by that. I think Simone has her own shit, and I think she gets a pass on it all the time, especially on the timeline.
I think that for everything you said about Cecil's correct, but and I'm not saying that this makes it right or anything like that. But I just don't feel like on the timeline enough has been said about the fact that she lives in a different house.
Nope. Like, this is
on the other side of town.
It is. Listen, when you get to the point, first of all, that's a point of contention for me, right? Because there is no commute that you need another house for.
Another house?
And so that, to me, I feel like that was the beginning of, because now they're used to not living together.
And she buys this other house. Well, she bought the Maserati first, didn't tell him.
Yeah.
Then she buys this other house on the other side of town. But the kids stay with Cecil because that's where their school is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's also looking at her like, you made me a single dad.
Like,
I got to get up and get these boys ready for school. And again, they're not toddlers, but still, he got to make sure they got something to eat. He got to go to practice. He got to do all that shit. And you on the other side of town, chilling with your glasses, drinking a glass of wine, charting. Like, you're chilling. Yeah. And you don't, I don't know when you're even coming over here. Like, I remember there was one episode when he came over there and he was like, she had got back from a trip or something.
Yeah, well,
he was like, yo, so you coming home because the boys ain't seeing you? And she was like, nah, not tonight. Like, what?
Yeah, that's my point. Like, to me, they've been broken up.
Yeah.
Like, they've been apart.
Yeah.
They've you know, functioned and lived as a family.
Yeah.
But they're not a couple.
At all.
You know, there's not really a lot of that. And that's what I'm saying. I think that they might have pockets of a few days when things are great, and then they probably, you know, look, I think they love one another. I think
they've been together 20-some years.
Yeah, so, I mean, college. I get it, but, like...
Yeah, but it ain't working.
My nigga, like...
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I was a little shocked with the divorce shit, but I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah. And then, so, Greg and...
Quad.
That one really irks me. Because I said, I when I watched the show this week, it clicked in my head. And I haven't seen anybody say this on the timeline or any forum. What Quad is doing is literally exactly what she did to Mariah. And Mariah kept saying to the public, yo, I'm telling you, the story is, Mariah knew Quad. They were both from Memphis.
Mm.
Quad used to fuck with Mariah's cousin, who was a D-boy.
Mm.
So she knows Quad on some other shit.
Yeah.
Mariah's a little bit older than her, but then Mariah moved to Atlanta, and she was doing pharmaceutical sales. She was doing pretty well for herself. Mm. She, and of course, that put her in the doctor circle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when the D-boy cousin got locked up or killed, one of the two, she was like, yo, come to Atlanta. I'll help you get a gig in pharmaceuticals and kind of put you on. And that's what she did.
Mm.
She came down. She got her a gig. She put her on. She introduced her to Greg.
Wow.
Because she was in the
circle.
In the circle. She was selling these niggas drugs. Legally.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, she's doing the prescriptions. So she introduced her to Greg. So then she said, yo, I got an idea for a show. I'm going to put you on a show with me. The show is Mariah's concept.
Mm.
So she gives, you know, she sells the show somehow. God bless her. She puts Quad on the show. And I mean, if you remember the early seasons, they was freaking frack.
Yeah.
And then once Quad started feeling herself, she cut Mariah off. And all of a sudden everything flipped. She had no use for her no more.
Yeah.
And then Mariah used to be like, yo, like, you just tossed me away. Like, okay, we had some little beef, but damn, but now you don't even talk to me.
Yeah.
That's literally what she did to Greg. When she married him, he was paying for shit, and she didn't have to work no more.
Yeah.
And then she paid for a little doggy bullshit and all that. And when she got her weight up on the show and got the other little circle of sisters and probably got some speaking engagements, now it's like, I'm done with you, my nigga. On to the next. And that's why Greg's looking like, God damn.
What's crazy to me is when you listen to her speak, is that she seems to think that her volume and her tone are the same thing. And like, just because you speak in a soft volume,
yeah, don't mean you ain't,
doesn't mean your tone isn't dismissive and degrading and demeaning.
It's always
and
that.
She is wildly confrontational. Crazy. And she comes off and she pretends as though she's not being confrontational.
Yeah.
Now listen, in fairness, Greg,
well, you got shit with him.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, he's a complete asshole.
Yeah.
But that is not, like, when you watch their dynamic, you're kind of like, I see why you guys argue, right?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of both are being a little bit wild here. And again, everyone wants to skip over the fact that he wanted to have a baby.
Yes, he wanted to have a family. And that was slick how they did that this last episode.
Yeah, because they pulled it
4 years ago.
Yes, pulled it up.
And the nigga brought up the kid thing while she was making him breakfast. And she's like, why you got to talk about this while I'm making you breakfast? It's like, you're making breakfast. Why is this not a time to talk about it?
Yeah.
You just flipping eggs. Like, you ain't, yeah.
you ain't doing nothing.
When is the time to talk about it besides being in the kitchen together while you making breakfast on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning? Like, I was like, she just kept moving that goalpost.
Yes. And to me,
and that was what's fucked up.
And to me, I think they need to figure this out, because I feel like that's a relationship where somebody's gonna get hurt.
Yeah, it's gonna get volatile.
Yes.
One night,
that's
one night
going to explode.
Yeah, one night that nigga, or maybe her, somebody is gonna wild out.
Yes. And it is, and you can clearly see that they are no longer friends
at all.
They are just not connected at any
point. I bet they ain't had sex in a smooth year and a half.
Dude, they don't even, they look like they don't even laugh at anything.
Nigga, I don't even know if they even sleeping in the same bed.
They might not be.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, watching her and watching this sort of, even with the way she dealt with Toya, right? Like, she is just really like cold and calculating. And it doesn't come from anywhere. Like, it's out of the blue.
Yeah. Oh, we just won't ever speak again. Word?
Like, nigga, like, what?
Yeah.
And it's just, and you know what? The other women were right. They do give her a pass. She's always fucking late. It's always
wild late. Yo, it's funny because, again, you know, with them edits and whatnot and the producers, they showing it more now.
And she's like, here's the thing. She's not a likable person.
She's not.
She doesn't come off well on television.
No.
And there are several things about different people on television shows that you can get. Like, she's not a likable person. She's not, I mean, she's more likable than Heavenly, who I think is probably the nastiest person on
Heavenly
reality.
Trying, though. She's trying.
No, she's not.
Trying.
She's not. She's that's trying. That's bullshit.
She's trying this season.
She's not.
She's trying.
She's not. She does that. That's that fake try shit. That's that fake try. She's a mean spirit. She's a mean old Usher lady. That's who she is. She's a mean Usher lady.
Mean
Usher with the mole, with the hair that come out. That's Heavenly. That's Heavenly, bro. Yes.
She is that mean Usher lady, though. But yeah, I mean, because the last episode, Quad made Simone wait for 45 minutes.
Yes.
And then walked up on some, hey, baby!
Like
bitch, I've been here almost an hour!
Yeah.
And then they had the little stupid ass party. Like, how do you get out of debt and then throw a party? I'm like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. But she showed up dumb late to that.
Yeah. Like, that, that party needs a little bit of discussion.
Yeah.
Because that to me was the, first of all, that was the epitome of Atlanta.
Absolutely.
That is some real Atlanta shit.
Like, first of all, I was like, who the fuck are these people? Because they showing clips of some of the girls. Them girls is like in their 20s.
Yo.
I'm like, who? How do you know these? These girls are like 25. How do you even know these people?
The first of all, let me say this too. Toya and Jane, probably the only couple that I would ever hang out with.
The only one you go play cards with?
Yeah, because I know, first of all, I know they snacks is popping. I know Big Jane got the pantry lit. And
Toya done put on some pounds too, so she eating too.
The pantry is lit.
That nigga Gene was mad because he couldn't eat no fried fish. That nigga said, you know this, fried food too? You know fried food, my thing?
Nah, that nigga ready to get some red hot and go to town.
That nigga be standing still. If you watch it, he'll be sitting still.
And sweating.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, my nigga,
listen, it was fairly obvious it was all set on the show.
Yeah, but of course.
It was jarring, like, the idea that you just got out of a six-figure debt. Like, they didn't pay off a $7,000 Capital One car, my nigga.
Yeah,
like, they got out of
170 racks.
Like, a six-figure debt.
To the IRS.
Like, let me tell you something, man. When you make them payment plans with the IRS, there's no wiggle room, my nigga.
Nah, ain't no fucking around.
It's not like when they say, yo, we want our shit on the third.
They want their shit on the third,
my nigga.
Yeah.
Your shit
not
can't
on the sixth,
be
not on the
that post-dated check trick shit. And I sent it out. Let me try to check a number. Yeah. None of that shit works, my nigga.
They want their
bread. And it could potentially mean that your debt is back due in full.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, that plan could be wiped out.
They'll dead your plan.
Yeah.
And they'll say, okay, your balance is $120,000.
What's good?
And we need that on today.
Yeah, what's popping?
Yeah, send that.
Yeah.
So they were also in a world of trouble too, because I'm pretty sure with that tax debt that he wasn't able to sell that house.
Hell no.
He couldn't have sold that house.
Yeah.
So they had to come from under that.
Plus, I think they're crazy upside down in the crib anyway.
They had to come from under that. And, look, I'm not saying don't have a little gathering if you want to, if you want to celebrate.
Party with red carpet?
Nigga, go down and get you some chickens.
To the fish spot.
Go down
and get you some crab legs.
Yeah, and then go get you about 3-4 racks of baby back.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And call them niggas over for some drinks and some barbecue. Like, why we making...
Party.
You niggas getting dressed. You got hair and makeup to celebrate
fucking
you getting out of
repeat.
Debt. What are we doing
what
here,
we
my
doing?
Nigga?
That's like, why I liked Contessa, Dr. Contessa. She was like, this is the dumbest shit I ever seen.
Yeah, she came in there with a little attitude.
Well, the book thing was a bit much.
Yeah,
she's come on, you from Kansas City, you was in the military, you not heard this word, you was fucking Donnell Jones' mom is as raw as it get. I know she was saying the shit all the time. Like, you done
she
heard...
She probably called them kids...
You little nigga, get your ass upstairs.
I know she did. She threw a fork at you, nigga.
And,
stop it.
And said, what you want to do?
And stop it. Cut the shit now.
You know what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden you indignant.
She's all... And that's the other thing, man. That's the shit that was like, look, was Gene... Gene didn't have to say that, but he did. I mean, I didn't necessarily agree with his point, but he said it.
Whatever. He apologized.
But the way they was going about it, it was just like, yo, man, like fucking relax, man. Relax. It's not that fucking deep.
And you know
what he meant.
You know what he meant. Y'all be bugging.
Like, yeah. And now y'all trying to make it seem like it was some other shit and making him apologize and bringing him books. And like,
yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it ain't that
like,
deep.
Like, honestly, like, that would have been like, my nigga, like, you can never come to my crib.
Yeah, it's
like,
over.
Y'all niggas,
yeah,
we go.
Yeah,
we not taping.
Because I might drink a little brown, and a nigga might slip out, or I might put on a record, and, you know, somebody might say, nigga in the record, and you going to be up and on.
Shitty ass.
You
niggas.
Know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so we got a 3-part reunion coming up starting Sunday.
Yeah.
It looks super intense with Simone and Cecil, with Eugene and Quad. I mean, not Eugene, with Greg and Quad, with Quad and Mariah. It looks like it's a lot of a lot of shit flying on this reunion. It's gonna
I'm really interested to see this shit. And also too, like Simone with the, you know, bitches is looking for y'all. Listen,
first of all, Simone's too goddamn loud. She stop yelling.
Like, ain't nobody hunting down old Curtis and Cecil and Eugene, okay? Fucking relax.
Yeah, stop acting like these niggas is sex symbols.
Like, now. Like, relax. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Now, they might get a wink or two here. Yeah,
Miss Shirley is here.
Yeah, Miss Shirley is
supermarket. Take a picture.
Yeah.
But stop acting like these young,
these hot niggas is hot. Like, you acting like these niggas is hot in the street. Yeah. Like, they can't move.
Yeah. Yes.
Relax.
Chill out. Yeah. These bitches are looking for all of y'all. What that told me is, and I wouldn't be surprised, I don't know if it'll come out, that some texts or some, or some emails, so Cecil probably sloppy with it, got seen by her. And it wasn't no young gal, probably some gal that he went to school with, and you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, I think it was more something like that.
Cecil did like Troy.
Yeah.
I goes down to Alberta because I bees at peace.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So shit like that, you know. He over there, you know, got his socks up, you know, watching the show. She making the food.
She got
to keep... Remember, now, I won't be surprised if that happened, because remember, he's getting zero of that at the crib.
Yeah.
Because she's not even there.
Yeah.
So if he got an old gal that he went to, that he was in Morehouse, and maybe she was in Spelman at the same time, and they done reconnected, it wouldn't shock me, because he's easy pickings right now.
Yeah, he's vulnerable. Yeah.
He's vulnerable because, again, he's getting... I'm not saying it's right, I'm saying, but like, I see how he get picked off, because if he go over, you know, Clarabelle house, and she made dinner, and, you know, I put the game on for you, too. That thing's going to be like, oh, hell, I'm in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
nigga,
so...
I'm in.
I'm be out here every night, so it's going to be real interesting to see how that go. Let's talk about the Oscars.
Yeah.
So Oscars was Sunday night. Did you watch the whole show?
Nah, I think I watched most of it though, and then I looked up and it was still going, and I was like, I'm going upstairs, man. I'll fucking find out best picture and all that shit from my phone.
You know what? Wait, before I get to the Oscars, I want to say something. So, I haven't been staying too current with Black Ink. It's just too much TV. Oh. It's too much going on. But Black Ink, I caught a clip. I guess maybe the episode is coming on this week, or maybe it came on last week, of C's and Sky's son.
It's this week.
I saw a clip of that, and I caught a little clip of, like, a Sky basically just super wilding when they went to Korea.
Sky's
having a mental breakdown.
I don't even know if it's a mental breakdown.
What do you think?
I'm starting to think that Sky has been given a lot of leeway because of her situation.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I think that's
and happening. I think she has some very awful ways.
I agree.
And no one calls her on it because she's, you know, loud and rambunctious.
She's a bully.
And yes, she's an absolute bully. She said some really terrible things to somebody who, especially for, not only has she had a rough life growing up, but knowing that you're trying to reconnect with your children and knowing the damage that can be caused, and to just sit there and just sort of throw that at that woman, like...
And she said something to Young Bae?
Yeah, she basically was like, I don't believe you. Like, I don't believe
about
you.
About her mom and all
about
that.
About your mom, about your dad being abusive. I don't believe you. And da 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 da. Like, you haven't fudged any of the shit. Like you've been caught in fudging several details of your shit.
Exactly.
And now, all of a sudden, you're the fucking moral police?
Yeah.
Like, you're the person that's gonna sit here and be, like, it was, not only was it wild to watch, if you actually go back in the show, it's just very consistent. It's very consistent behavior.
Yeah, remember how she treated the girl, the little light-skinned girl who was, they was fighting all the time, and then she was trying to fight the girl who's still on the show now, who gets runs the other shop. Like, it's always somebody she just goes after. It's like, I don't fuck you, bitch. I don't like you. And her and Riley. And it's like always something, man.
She's honestly, man, like this was really like enough of your shit, man. Like enough of your shit. And everybody sort of walks on eggshells with her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's some coin. Oh, we got to be. And I feel like she takes advantage. I feel like she absolutely. I feel like she has issues. I also feel like she takes advantage of the fact that people are sympathetic to her upbringing, her situation with her children, and trying to reconnect with them. And she plays on that sympathy.
Yeah.
Like, she's a fucking hustler from Harlem, and she knows how to play people.
Yep.
And that's what the fuck she's been doing for years, and that's a part of
who she is.
Who she is.
Yeah.
And that's the game.
And again, the clip I saw, and I guess, you know, we'll see the show when it comes on, but the clip I saw was C's talking to her son, I can't remember his name now, the one that basically tried to fight her when they met for the first time as an adult. And C's is like, yo, man, you know, I know your mom's and you know, she's going through a lot of shit and she really loves you. I think you should give her a shot. And the son is basically like, nigga, I don't know you. I don't know why you even fucking talking to me. Fuck you. Fuck her. Fuck all this shit. And the son is like one of them young cats that's ready to fight on a second's notice. Like he's ready to go. And I'm not saying I'm not caping for him, but I'm just like, damn, this dude is like, he's not to cut you off, but it feels like to me when I watch him, I don't know what happened when he got adopted or whatever, but he's obviously been through some traumatic shit. And he looks at it like, 15 years I didn't hear from you, but now I'm hearing from you because now you on TV. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a good storyline for you. Mm-hmm. And so you want to reconnect and be Peach Keen because it'll look good for you. Because you're basically like, my mom is trying to hustle me. Mm-hmm. That's not to me, again, whether that's right or wrong, that's how he looks at it. So anybody that tries to come at him on her behalf, he's looking at it like, oh, you're part of the hustle too, so fuck you too. And he steps up to, like, the clip cuts off, but it looks like he pushes the table out of the way, like, he about to swing on C's. Like,
which, listen, he shouldn't necessarily do that.
Cause no,
I think C's is coming from a genuine place.
He is.
I also don't think that's C's place.
No, but see, that's where I was going with it. Sky has gotten so many people brainwashed, and she's put C's in a space to do shit that he shouldn't be doing.
And see, but you know, listen, and I don't want to disparage dude, but as a father, as somebody that's been, you understand the positions of parents. If as a parent, you around Justin, I know that there's gonna be things that you would feel is necessary to say if I'm not around, and I know that there are things that you would feel that it's not my place to say when I'm not around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that there's a line that shouldn't have ever been crossed. And I think that this is why I said to you, this is uncomfortable. This is not fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because this is real life.
Yeah.
Like, and all of this shit is real that you see on television, but this is like
this a is kid's shit that's behind life. Closed doors. Yeah.
This is, to me, this is a conversation that shouldn't have even been on television. And I also feel like the kid is super angry.
Definitely.
I feel like he doesn't have any other rational way to express himself.
He just fights.
And I think a part of that is sort of maybe the dad has sort of tweaked
the adopted mom.
She talked about that, how the dad would come around or whatever. And then, you know, basically, like, once he was of age, he took off.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, listen, that might happen. But it to me, how you gonna have another nigga go talk to your kid? You don't even know your kid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know him.
At all.
Like, to me, if there was anybody you wanted to be a mediator, it should have been that woman who was the person who was feeding him and clothing him and doing all of the shit that you and the pops wasn't doing.
Yeah.
And for valid and good reason.
Yeah, y'all wasn't babies. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, that shit's weird to me. And man to man, like as a man, Caesar was supposed to me. You're supposed to draw that line.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not doing this shit by myself. And two, if you want to talk to him and you don't feel safe, I'll come with you to make sure y'all are good.
Yeah.
But I'm not having, like, what the fuck are you talking to me about?
Yeah, nigga, I don't know you from a cat.
I know you. So I'm not even really mad. Like,
yeah. Nigga, you don't know what happened. You don't really know shit.
You don't know
nothing. You just know what she told you.
That's the point. You know what she told you.
Yeah.
And what you're being told. You don't know any of the nuances and intimacies about any of this shit that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go to the Oscars, I forgot we never got into Fix My Life. Because we said it, and then I steered into something else.
Oh, shit.
So, Ayanna Fix My Life came on Saturday night, and it was fucking, I don't know if phenomenal is the right term, but it was intense as a mother. It was intense as hell. So, the first episode was about this girl named Kamaya, / Alexis, who was abducted as a baby in Jacksonville, Florida, by this woman, and raised her till she was about, I guess, 17, 18 years old before the woman finally got caught. And the woman's now in jail doing several years in jail for kidnapping and abduction and all this other stuff. So the girl's biological father, who now, I don't know if that was his wife or his girlfriend, but is in a relationship.
His girlfriend,
called, I sent a note to Ayanna saying he wanted to be on the show to help him reconnect with his daughter, Kamaya / Alexis. The girl now woman who is her biological mother decided not to come on the show. She was gonna come and the last minute changed her mind. So it ended up being the biological father, his girlfriend, and Kamaya's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think actually ever spoke.
Ever.
He didn't say a word. So Kamaya came in and, you know, just in Atlanta, and, you know, Ayanna gives her a hug and they start talking, and, you know, Ayanna sees right through it, which is like, she's, you know, putting up this, like, really sweet, nice front, and I'm fine, and I'm cool, and nothing's wrong with me, and I just have two moms, and I love them both, and no, I don't even think about it. It doesn't even bother me, and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And Ayanna's like, nah, this is impossible. Like, you can't tell me that this doesn't affect you. Like, the woman who raised you, you found out it wasn't your mom at some point, and then got locked up and now thrown into this family with your biological parents who don't know you,
mm-hmm.
and now you're a teenager, and like you can't tell me that you're just cool with all this shit. And then, you know, Ayanna is trying to like, you know, get her to kind of see, because she's a child too, she's only 19, so it's different than dealing with an adult, but you're trying to get her to kind of talk about her feelings, you know, which is tough because she's a child.
Yeah.
But then, you know, once Ayanna says to her, she goes downstairs and actually tells the father, look, it's only one of two things that can happen at this point. Either she's gonna leave, or I'm gonna have to break her down to get her emotions to come out, and then we can deal. And you can see the fear, literal fear to me, in all three of their eyes. Like, oh my God, you don't want to fucking get on her bad side. And so my Ayanna goes back upstairs. The Ayanna tells the father and the boyfriend, you all should leave. And if she calls you tonight, I'm going to have her to spend the night here. And if she calls you tonight, don't answer the phone. And they definitely look like, oh my God, I don't want to do that shit. So my Ayanna goes upstairs, the girl's in the bed, and says, they're going to leave. You're going to spend the night here. And they're not going to answer the phone if you call. So, you know, they're not going to come pick you up. And then we see the other side, literally 0 to 100. And the girl goes fucking nuclear. She's literally threatening Ayanna.
Oh, she's telling she gonna stab her.
Yeah, beat older bitches up. Tell this old bitch to get out of my face. Like,
it was wild.
It was buck wild.
Yeah.
What I took from that is a couple things. And then the father's like, I never seen that side of her before. I was like, you're lying.
Yeah.
This girl got y'all niggas punked. Also, I can't, we had me, you, and Kelly, KMGZ, friend to the show, had a Twitter debate about the show as was happening, and my stance was, and this isn't the meat of it, but my stance was, watching her, she's very spoiled. And what I meant by that is, her mom, the one who raised her, mm-hmm. obviously knew that she abducted her. I don't know when this girl found out that she was actually abducted.
She said she found out, I think she was 17, and she went to go get a job.
And she had the paperwork.
Yes, the job said you have to come with your social security and your birth certificate.
I think that the girl might have found out a little earlier than that. And I think that whenever she would flip and go ham, the mom who raised her would have to chill. Because she's like, I gotta kind of give her what she wants to pacify her. Because if she goes ham, it might come out
cops
that
come.
Or exactly.
Okay.
And also, I think maybe her mom might have flipped on people too, and I think it might also have been learned behavior.
Okay.
But she is definitely like knows. She's kind of like Sky. She knows that motherfuckers are scared of her because people missed it. She swung on her boyfriend.
She hit him.
She hit the nigga. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, yeah. How the fuck you gonna leave me? Yeah. That dude's scared to death. Yeah. He's like, I can't leave
her. He didn't even budge.
Because this happened many times before. It's like, I can't leave her because she literally might kill me.
Yeah.
Like, she might fucking put a knife in my chest. And it ended like they never came back and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. What'd you think about the show, though?
I like Iyanla. Everyone, you know, I'll scream that from the mountaintops. Mm-hmm. She was out of her depths here. This was way too much for Iyanla's ability, in my opinion.
Okay.
I thought that this was a bit of a reach. I've seen the word exploitive. I didn't think it was that because I genuinely think Iyanla means well.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that this was a little too much for her.
Okay.
I thought that this was, you know, look, when she does the, you know, the relationship things, and you can kind of see people sort of get help, and you can sort of see the epiphanies that come when she does her things and stuff like that. But this required real training in how to deal with people. Like, to tell... I'm not trained. I don't want to pretend like I am.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell someone who has been dealing with abandonment issues
that they're going to leave you now. Yeah, and
nobody's picking up the phone for you. Like to not even have processed how that can come across, right? Like to not even process how that could potentially be triggering for her. Like you don't know what that girl put herself to sleep with that night. You don't know what she tells herself to ease her pain, right? She is saying that, oh, my mom didn't come and I wish she had told me. And she's doing what teenagers do, which is they're telling you what their problem is, except they're not articulating it in a way that's very plain for you. Mm. She's saying, what I got from that was my mother who raised me is in jail. My mother who had me didn't even want to show up to me for this shit. So what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And then you're going to say that the few people that you have associated with care and love and attention, I'm going to take them away from you too. And you're going to sit in this fucking house with me and these other people that you have never seen before in your life. And you're supposed, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, like, that's why therapy is an ongoing thing, right? Yeah. Because it takes so long. You could be going to a therapist for months before
you get some type of break.
That's my point, right? Like, so to me, she was just out of her depth in this. And I think that, where she was asking for and holding people accountable in ways that I thought was unfair. To blame and vilify that biological mother for not showing up was unfair.
Because that was my thing. Because
she was 16 years old.
And who knows, maybe the biological mother has seen this behavior before, and at the last minute was like, I don't want to go because if this bitch flip on me, I might start to slap the shit out of her. Like, I don't want to even put myself in that situation.
And she never even acknowledged that there could have been trauma for her.
Absolutely. They showed a clip of the news cast when the girl was, the biological mother, who was 16 at the time she had her, was crying on the newscast because the baby had just been stolen, and she obviously was traumatized by it. Coupled with the fact that, according to the biological father, he didn't know she was 16 years old. And her, not only did she not tell him, but her family didn't tell him. He said he didn't find out she was 16 until she had the kid in the hospital. And I think if you do the math, because the girl, Kamaya's 19, and I remember they said that he's now 42.
Yeah.
So that means that he probably was like 27, 28. Yeah. So it's like he was fucking a teenager, didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of shit, trauma shit that
but
was
going on.
But
that's what he say.
Yeah, that's what he
that's say. What he say.
That's what he say.
Yeah, right? Because 16
yeah.
usually yeah. looks and feels like 16. Like
at
16.
Some point, it's 16. Right?
Now, he ain't the brightest bulb on Broadway, nah, so
little,
I ain't going to make
he was
it
a little
seem
dim.
Like,
he was a little dim.
But I say, like, you know, watching Iyanla in the way she sort of in
you just think that she went about it wrong.
I think that it was also, I thought it was wrong for her to simply, like she's coming to this man who is 42 years old and basically has had this child sort of thrust in
10
his life.
Months. It's been 10 months.
10 months, bro. Like, 10 months is no time.
Yeah.
That's, because think about it like this. If you fucking work a regular gig,
you working down the plant.
You working down to the plant, nigga. That's 45 hours already.
That you ain't got time.
That you ain't got.
You still got your old lady to deal with.
That's my point, right? So it's not like, you know, he's got this, you know, long time where he can just sort of spend time and get to know her and all of that sort of stuff. Like, it was just.
I still felt like, again, he wasn't the brightest bulb in the bunch, but I felt like even 10 months, again, it's not a lot of time, but it just felt like. I don't know if she flipped or whatever early, but this felt like it was a whole lot of tiptoeing around her. Like, well, Iyanla made the point. She was like, the father is so traumatized about losing her as a child that he was trying not to ever do anything to make her leave again. So he was just like, I'm not ever going to, like, bring up a hard topic or force her to try to do some shit, or because he's scared that she'll be like, "Well, fuck you." And at 19, she can walk away.
And that's valid, except for the fact that we're under the assumption that he knows how to deal with any of this.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he does.
That's my point about angling the conversation in making someone wrong here.
Yeah,
like that man. Is not wrong.
He just don't know.
He has no fucking idea.
Yeah, he's just a nigga from Jacksonville.
This nigga, look, God bless him, but like, nothing about that man
looked intelligent.
Told me that he was confident, that he was assured, that he was worldly, that he understood how things mean things.
Yeah.
Like, none of that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I wasn't blown away. And like you said, none of this was surprising. She has acted out. She's shown her ass before.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And to me, what was also, I just felt like and we've talked about this before, like there has to be a little bit of vetting when you get these sorts of people, because I just feel like certain people are just too far gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Certain people are just too far gone. Yeah. That to me, and that's what I'm saying. To me, that was a case of her being completely. She was out of her depth.
Yeah.
She was in a game she had no business being in.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to wrap it up real quick. So I mentioned the Oscars. You know, we ain't got to go too deep. I'm happy for Jordan Peele winning best screenplay. I did up. I saw almost all the movies. I went hard.
What did you think?
Only maybe like two movies I didn't see. So I really understood what was going on in the process and like why this and that. And you know, I wouldn't have voted for Shape of Water. I wanted to Get Out to win Best Picture, obviously, because personally, and I just thought it was I thought it was the movie that moved the culture this year. More than any of those other movies. It became a topic. It became a phenomenon. None of those other movies are phenomenons. There were some good movies for movie watching sake, but Get Out was like, you know, that was a, it was a phenomenon.
I didn't see any of the movies, but I definitely know I'm never going to watch The Fish.
The Shape of Water?
I'm never watching that.
You never watch that shit?
Ever. Nigga, like, ever. I will do a crossword puzzle
before you watch that.
Before I watch that shit.
Yeah, all right, so shit. You know what you might like? Check out Dunkirk.
I got it. I got it at the crib.
Dunkirk
we
is
get the screeners.
Okay, yeah, because Dunkirk was, you know, that's a plot, it's a thing that happened for real. It was like a battle in England around the English Channel. But the way Christopher Nolan, who did Batman and Inception and some other interesting movies, did it, he kind of Inceptionized it in the way he told the story. At first, I didn't really understand what was going on. I was like, the fuck? But then once you catch what he's doing, it's ill what he's doing and how he's doing. It's like, oh, this is... Oh, that's ill. Okay, it's like, oh shit, what you catch on is really dope. So, you know, and Lady Bird was good. I Tanya was really. I saw a post.
The only thing I didn't see was the post.
I Tanya is really good. Everybody pretty much to me got what they should have got. I thought that I wouldn't have voted for Sam Rockwell, but most everybody else I wasn't that mad at. You know, and you know, it was some black shit in there this year too, and. You know, Dave Chappelle came out, and Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph were funny, and you know, so it was, you know, it was so
splashy. It was good.
Oh, by the way, Tiffany Haddish is starring in a Tyler Perry film coming up called The List. Her, Omari Hardik, and old girl, what's old girl's name from Have and Have Not? Tika something.
I bet you any amount of money.
It was filmed before?
No. I bet you any amount of money. Tyler does this. And not to go off on a tangent, this is what he was trying to tell Monique, because this is what he did with Taraji. That's how they get their quotes up.
Because
when he pays them,
he's gonna pay them more than them.
That's how those quotes change.
Well, that's dope then.
That's
super dope, because Taraji definitely said Tyler Perry was the first person to pay her what she should be getting paid.
That's my point.
Yeah,
and if you actually listen to some of the things that you've had Monique say, she talked about. He said, you know, if you do this,
then
the next movie
you're gonna get your money. Yeah. So
lining it up.
But so anyway, hopefully you're right, and hopefully the movie's decent.
Yeah.
So we got two Tylers coming out. We got that one, and what's the other one I had said about the other day? It was another one with what the hell was another? It was a Tiffany Ash one, and there's another. Oh, a new Taraji. Taraji's another one.
Oh.
Yeah. So
well, God bless him.
Peace to him and peace to everybody else. That's it. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.